This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Lent is a time in the Christian year when we as Christians prepare for Easter by examining our lives through prayer and fasting, and by thinking seriously about what Jesus' death and resurrection means to us and for the world. Even though Jesus had been born of God, he knew what it was to be human just like us. He experienced all our sorrows and pains. He knew what it was to be tempted. He knew through his experience just how difficult it would be for us to resist. So who better to turn to in our troubles than him? Our gospel reading today tells us how at the very beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus was tempted three times by the devil in the wilderness. These three temptations, when gathered together, were one big diversion sign designed to alter his course, to get him to think of himself as one who could become a world conqueror, one of great power, wealth and might. But Jesus would have known full well the ancient writings which foretold that suffering and death would line the route the Messiah would walk upon. No earthly glory for him, but rejection. Here, performed by the Gesualdo Six, is 40 Days and 40 Nights. We are told in Scripture that at the early age of 12, Jesus debated Scripture intensely with the wise and learned when he visited the temple with his parents. It's more than likely he would have known from that moment on what had been said about his destiny as Messiah, as written in Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Let's listen to The Servant King, written by Graeme Kendrick and performed here by the Maranatha Choir, which tells us that the coming Messiah was destined to serve and not be served.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant.
Our gospel reading today is taken from Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The words, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you," from James 4:7, are more or less what our next hymn is about. It's called "Yield Not to Temptation," and sung here by N. Crewe singer Stephen Naseby.
Yield not to temptation, look ever to Jesus, be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true, and look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth the crown.
Temptation spoke to Jesus' hunger in the wilderness as he fasted. How easily he could have turned a stone into bread to satisfy his hunger. But that would have been to have used his power merely to satisfy his own needs. It is said that temptation is the suggestion to get God to do what we want, rather than being willing to do what God wants. Much later in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would come to pray, "Not my will, but yours be done." But in today's world, it's become more a case of "not your will, but mine be done." And note that the devil whispers, "If you are the Son of God," to cast doubt on God's words of revelation at his baptism. And the devil repeats himself again in the next temptation, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And what an impact Jesus would have made had he succumbed to that second temptation, to have flung himself from the highest point of the temple in order to be scooped up by soaring angels coming to his rescue, a miracle in the sky. Would that not have persuaded the crowds below, especially the religious leaders of his true majesty? Surely such a feat would have taken all the pain, sweat and tears out of Jesus' ministry, and allowed time for the more important work of healing and preaching good news. But Jesus resisted this temptation too. He has led us, Heavenly Father, lead us.
Say.
Many of us today are tempted to take shortcuts to achieve what we want, and we can become reckless. We are impatient and we want immediate results. We prefer the easy route, the pleasurable road, but Jesus knew his road ahead would be difficult. In the third temptation, the devil attempts to direct Jesus' eyes towards fame, great wealth, power, and popularity. All he has to do to achieve this is to worship and serve him instead of God. Don't we all like things like power, wealth, popularity, and some form or other? And don't we all sometimes want a little bit of praise for what we achieve in life? This last temptation is by far the most seductive of all temptations today, and many succumb to it. Jesus would come to teach in Matthew 16, what good would it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? So how did Jesus overcome this temptation and the others? For a start, he recognized his enemy. Secondly, Jesus knew scripture by heart and used it against every one of the devil's attacks. Thirdly, Jesus was obedient to God his Father, always seeking to know him and to discern his will through prayer and fasting, forever keeping close to him. There's no end to what we can achieve for God when we keep our eyes on him. Here is Marty Horn singing, Eye Has Not Seen.
Sorrow weigh us down, be near to us, O Lord. Forgive the weakness of our faith and bear us up within your peaceful
There's an expression which says, the devil finds work for idle hands to do. In Tolstoy's War and Peace, the heroine Natasha is waiting for her true love to return home following a long absence. But she soon convinces herself she's in love with another. She becomes mad with desire and has to be locked in her room by her family to prevent her eloping with a scoundrel who, unknown to her, is already married and not worthy of her love. But her actions demonstrate just how powerful and alluring a temptation can be. To be tempted is actually not a sin, but to entertain it, fix your mind on it, and then act upon it is. And if we give into it, we stand to lose something extremely precious, our good name, our reputation, sometimes the agonizing breakup of family life. There's an old Chinese proverb which says, "You can't stop birds flying around your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair." I love the story told of a man desperate to do something about his weight, so he decided to change his route to work so that he wouldn't pass his favourite donut shop. He was so determined to lose weight that he shared his struggle with his co-workers, hoping they would encourage him and help him to stay true. But not long after sharing this in the office, he arrived at work one morning with a big box of donuts. When his surprised co-workers asked what was going on, he said, "These are no ordinary donuts. They're from the Lord." "What in the world are you talking about?" they asked. The man replied, "It's quite simple. Today on my way into the office, I accidentally drove by my favourite donut shop and saw all those glazed and sprinkle-top donuts calling my name from the window. I just knew I had to pray for strength and deliverance. So I prayed, 'Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious donuts, you are going to have to create a parking space for me right in front of that donut shop. If this happens, I'll know that you want me to have some donuts.' And sure enough, after 8 trips round the block, there was a parking place right there in front of the donut shop." Wasn't he putting himself in the way of temptation? I love this next hymn, "Jesu, Lover of My Soul," sung here by Ferdinand Ortega.
Jesus, Lover of my soul, led me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow.
The Bible tells us in John's first letter, chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God came into the world, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so, at the beginning of Lent, would you please join me in this prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you know the battles we face daily, the temptations we all face. You know how powerless and despondent we sometimes feel, and yet you are there with us in our weaknesses and in the depth of our despair. Help us to recognize and overcome the temptations that come our way, so we may serve you, know you, love you, and be restored once more. Come protect us, renew us, cleanse us, and make us whole this day. Amen. And finally, with Jesus' words in mind, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only," let's listen to our final song about surrendering to God and reordering our priorities. here sung by the Isaacs, is "All to Jesus, I Surrender." That's all we have time for this week. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
All to Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Take me.